Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for carving out timing in your day to Edge God Back In. Perhaps you find yourself this week following those shiny objects that are distracting you from that place of refuge only found in the heart of Christ. Being that we're coming in on springtime, I've been meditating a lot on John chapter 15 about remaining, remaining, remaining. And today we're going to talk about one of the biggest benefits and ramifications of remaining in Christ. Jesus is your ultimate life coach. Absolutely your ultimate life coach as you move through this journey of life. And I'm so grateful to have two co-hosts today that have both had an incredible impact on my life personally. We are all called, all three of us are called into the coaching field. All of us are a part of Sherpa Executive Coaching and the Leadership Institute. I feel like a very small person in the midst of this incredible coaching institution that's been out there for quite a long time. Judy, who's joining us today, she's the one who actually taught the class that I attended. Instantly, I could see that she was moving from the inside out versus the outside in, which piqued my interest. And I found out that yes, in fact, Jesus Christ of Nazareth was her coach in life. And so that drew me to her as well as to Jen. We all share that sense of more of you, dear Lord, and less of me. So today we're going to be jumping in with that theme, Jesus as the ultimate life coach. And I'll begin in a quick prayer here to invite the Holy Spirit, because as with all of these podcasts, the main producer is the Holy Spirit. We show up, we have a few verses, and sometimes you'll find at edgegodin.com, there's a structured Bible study. You can visit us at edgegodin.com under resources. There's a methodology for learning and application and transferability of what you do learn in your life so that you can experience championing your own human potential in Christ. These are just tools and techniques to grab and go and put in your backpack with the goal of drawing you closer to Jesus and giving you the ability to be quick on your feet, to lean away from the world and to lean into Christ. So I'm excited about today's topic simply because it's the career that God has called me into, as well as the career that he's called Judy Coleman and Jen Klopek, who are both, as I mentioned, co-hosts on the call. So thank you for joining us. And again, as I mentioned, pause and simply invite the Holy Spirit in to bump you and to help you to tune into what sparkles for you. What is for you on this phone, on this particular podcast? What specific teaching, learning, technique, idea is for you for the purpose of drawing you closer to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to lighten the load so that you can walk away from this podcast feeling as if you are a lighter version of you, letting go and dropping the trinkets and shiny objects and having only one attachment, your heart to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and therefore resurrecting to the front lines the personhood of Christ through your words, thoughts, deeds, and actions, so that when people encounter you, you're edging God into their life. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this opportunity to join together. You say we're two or more are together, that you crash that party. You are here. You are the ultimate coach, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to serve and glorify you during this time of this podcast, and we invite your wisdom. May the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight for the edification of everyone who's listening on this call. And perhaps there are some people that literally feel as if they're steamrolled by life and they're looking for some sound coaching. They're looking for refreshment. They're looking for renewal. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the words that are spoken today on this podcast would give them that open door, that shift in perspective, to be able to hear your voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk in it. Grant everyone on this call the ability to knock, seek, ask, the ability to hear your knock, to open up the door of their heart to you so that you will come in and fellowship with them. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us so that we can walk and not grow weary, run and not faint, and bring you into the world wherever we go. In your most precious name we pray, amen. So I'd like to introduce to all of you two incredible people and mentors in my own life, Judy and Jen. Let's start with you, Judy, first. Thank you for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I mentioned, you had a huge impact on me personally, as you helped me discover what we refer to in Sherpa Executive Coaching as your why it matters. I'm going to swing back around to you on that because it was such a profound experience. I'd like to share that with listeners today. Just from your experience, Judy, what is coaching and why do you think that Jesus is an ultimate coach?
Well, it's interesting because we have constantly defined coaching as a one-on-one facilitated meeting that produces positive results within a fixed time frame. And I was reading in preparation for our time together here, and I saw a sentence that I thought was actually profound for me, and I think gives it another flavor, if I could put it that way, but not contradicting how I've always thought of coaching. And it said that there is a difference between teaching someone and helping them learn, that Jesus set the stage and always set the encounter that allowed someone to learn. And as a coach, my experience has been that we are setting the stage for people to discover themselves, their own thoughts, their own self-revelations, and we just have a few tools that help guide them in that way. But we are helping them work on their behaviors. And so that's a key word in coaching, that you are the expert on your own behaviors. And so Jesus is very front and present as he created you. So he knows how you behave, how you're going to behave, and his word is constantly giving us a manner in which to behave. And coaching helps facilitate that transformation.
That's really powerful. You know, what comes up is the one of my favorite scriptures when Jesus encounters the blind man, right? So he obviously knows that the man is born blind. He can obviously see that the man is blind. And yet, don't you find it very interesting that the well-posed question that he asks is, what do you want me to do for you?
I think it's interesting because as coaches, we pride ourselves in asking the right question at the right time. So just by that example you just gave, Jesus was the master of that, of asking the right question to really make you stop.
It's such a powerful reflection. And that verse, by the way, for listeners, is Mark chapter 10, verses 51 through 52. Mark 10, 51 through 52. It's interesting because as we kind of just stand back from that and watch that, we could easily say that the ask that question, some of us would be like, well, can't you see I'm blind? You know, and that is a comeback. But instantly, he asks specifically for what he wanted. Jen, I'm going to bring you in on this conversation because I know that God's given you a lot of really good Earth School material to practice asking specifically for what you want. And Jesus was masterful at continually providing clarity of focus. What was up with that? When Jesus comes across the blind man, sees that he's blind, what do you want me to do for you? And he asked him right away. There was no lag time. What was going on in that exchange, do you feel, from your observation? And how can you, you know, pull your story up that, you know, basically gives a real-time example of what was going on.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking, Lauren. And it's just when God places something on our heart, such as this podcast of Jesus being the ultimate coach, it's whatever is placed on my heart that week, God leads me through experience so I can have some real-life stories. And in the midst of my oldest son graduating from college this year, he experienced a breakup simultaneously of graduating and experiencing that excitement and, however, going through a loss in a relationship. And I wanted to come alongside of my son and provide him with all the solutions, with everything I thought he needed. However, I showed up like Jesus showed up. And just like Jesus asked the blind man, "What do you want me to do?" I had to get clarity on my role with my son. How do you need me to support you during this time? And so I actually had to spend a lot of time in prayer with my Heavenly Father to get clarity on being the best coach through example by seeing how Jesus coached his disciples and coached his followers. So it gave me real-time, specific, immediate tools that I could use in being a parent and coaching my son. And just how God, it's interesting that you said that, Lauren. As I was researching a little bit and just studying about Jesus as the coach, when we experience difficulties in our lives, just as Jesus did, he had performed many miracles and still people were doubting and questioning who he really was. And in John 6:15, Jesus withdrew and he went to spend some time in the mountainsides with his Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And that's what I needed to do this week. I just had to kind of withdraw and not immediately fix Colton's problem like I wanted to, but spend some time with the Lord and figure out, what can I do to come alongside of Colton? So just as Jesus was the ultimate coach, God was coaching Jesus during that time, whenever Jesus withdrew to spend time with the Father.
Yeah, that's really powerful. I think in our own circumstances, when life doesn't show up the way we want to, or particularly with those we love, we instantly want to find a solution, right? And yet Jesus, he didn't have that ego program running through his being. He was constantly detached from the opinions of other people and the pursuit of status. And therefore, he was able to have such a clear space to be able to pose the perfect question to guide people back to themselves and their fullest potential is connected to God. Another example of this, and I'd like to have a little pull this through a little bit, is the woman at the well. And here Jesus is with this woman. The woman's coming midday. So in that time, the Samaritans didn't hang out with the Jews. And also the women, their ritual was to go early in the morning when it wasn't hot to get water together. So it was a social event. So here we see a woman coming by herself in the heat of the day to this well. And she encounters Jesus. And Jesus starts chatting with her. Without any hesitation, and doesn't judge her at all, yet stays in a place of observation of her life choices. Why is that, Judy? Why is that so important? Because I remember God has blessed you with the ability to pose the perfect question, as you did for me when I thought my why it matters, which the why it matters is your main driver in life. I thought my why it matters was to make a difference. When you posed some of those straight up questions toward me that guided me back to myself, it flipped around to my why it matters is to be enough. And that has made all the difference moving forward. So taking that kind of process and putting it into the scene of the woman at the well, what's your take on that?
Well, you know, I wrote down the word non-judgmental when you brought up the woman at the well, because I think we have to remember that Jesus is the ultimate gentleman in that he will never impose himself on you. You have to invite him in. And so he wants to be your shepherd, your father, your friend, your everything. He will not impose himself on you. And so he held the space for her to share with him who she is and what she's thinking, because she was very aware of who he was. So the fact in the many things that he had chosen, and that he could have had real deep filters, as we say in poetry. Mm-hmm. He had some pretty big judgments in regard to her choices. And yet, he can use anyone. And he can bring anyone to a revelation about themselves. And that is never through telling anybody anything. We all know how that works, as Jen talked about being a parent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When a kid to do something, the first thing you do is tell them what to do, and they do the complete opposite.
I mean, yeah.
That's in our nature. So I just think that he was very relaxed and physically thirsty, and she was willing and bold. She was bold, and he was non-judgmental, and he knew that she would go back and share her experience with him that would further bring him glory, ultimately. So I just think if we can stop thinking that we are somebody that we're not, and allow people for wherever they are on their journey, not be judged by that, because we all come short. Understatement. And so, so many things put my mind in saying that the way the Lord made the ultimate sacrifice and has forgiven us, that we're so unwilling to forgive other people for so much less. It just, just like you said, just he, with a clean slate, just was present with her and posed a question to her so that she could come to herself and choose who she's going to be going forward. I don't know if any of that made any sense, but it was just
a whole bunch of things. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was looking at the John chapter 4, which, by the way, this is the encounter that we're speaking about. Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. What's fascinating, and I know we can all relate to this, in the sense that judgment repels and love draws in.
Mm-hmm.
Always. There's. I've never seen in my short journey wearing this earth suit where that has not been the case. And judgment is a certain energy that is exchanged and shows up on the scene in facial expressions, intonations, body language. All of the listeners that are on the call that are listening to this podcast today, you know what judgment feels like. What do you look like when you're judging? How does it show up for you? How do people respond when you're in the space of judging? How good are you at hiding the judgment? And what do you do with the judgment? Where do you go with the judgment? Particularly in verses 17 through 25, this is where the conversation starts to open her up to her past. Jesus says, go back and call your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and call your husband. Now, this is such a well-posed question, right, Jen?
Yeah. Perfect. It's like with the Judy question, at that right time in the right moment, and you'll get the right response.
Yeah.
So he's primed
her.
Go
get your husband. I have no husband. But you know what's interesting, you guys? Obviously, as you were mentioning, Judy, he created the space.
Yes.
That's so essential.
And there was a form of trust there too, you know, as a coach. And then just the word trust just came to my mind. She trusted fully in him because he was sharing. He called her, you know, he knew her already. And she knew that there was something different about this person, you know, that she was trusting in him and that she could just bear her whole heart to him. And that's what God wants us to do. Our whole heart, our whole self, everything, the good, the bad, the ugly.
You know, it's, From from my perspective, and I could just speak of my own journey, but I'd love to hear from you guys as well, is that I have been my worst critic at times. When I haven't shown up to be the person that I know God is calling me to be, and perhaps there's a few listeners on this call that can relate to that, that you're facing this person that is reactive, and it might be coming from what's referred to in neuroscience as the halt, when you are hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and I like to add the S on the end, or sick. The best version of you is going to be compromised. And so to be able to come even during those points with transparency and authenticity, it is so essential to have that place of trust and openness and to give ourselves permission to speak the truth. This is something that I'm observing lately. And this is similar to the fact, because the woman at the well, by the way, when Jesus said, hey, go back and get your husband, her response to him, when he said that, she replied to him. She didn't defend, what do you mean I don't have any husband, the guy I'm living with, and justifying or pretending or lying or avoidance behavior. She just said, you know what? You're right. What you say is totally true. I don't have a husband. And the fact is, so not only does she validate what he said, she goes into just absolutely opening up her heart. The fact is, she doesn't push back on when Jesus is like totally calling her out. You've had several husbands. She doesn't push back on that. All she says is, I can see that you're a prophet. Mm-hmm. The fact is, you've had five husbands. So it's true. I have no husband. And then Jesus says, yeah, you're right with that. And the fact is, you've had five husbands. And the man you now live with is not your husband. What you've said is really, really true. Obviously, his intonation was in such a way that there wasn't any judgment there. And that allowed her to show up with authenticity and transparency. We withhold that grace with ourselves. So often, we'll be our worst inner critic and keep ourselves locked up in that place of judgment. If only if, I should have, we should all over ourselves. And rather than giving ourselves or allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to come into that place of, yeah, I've screwed up and I'm sorry. And to be transparent and real. And instantly the response to that was we get to encounter Christ, just as her response was, oh my gosh, I could totally see you're a prophet. And as a result of that, I believe there was probably more to this exchange, because she ran down and she said to everyone in the tent, come and see the one who told me everything I did. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's more to it. I think it was Judy you mentioned, or maybe it was Jen. Let's talk a little bit about filters and how do they block effective communication, direct communication, as well as effective listening to God and each other.
Yeah, and I think that was Judy. So I'm Judy, the filter queen, as far as knowing about filters. I'm not saying she operates.
Yeah, this is important, you guys. If you jumped on this call, if you take anything away, perhaps your 1 to 3 gold nuggets have ears to hear on this filter stuff. So Judy, teach us on filters.
I think it's important for us to realize that we all come forward with a set of opinions, judgments, experiences, values, opinions, those things, and they shape how we move and walk in the world. And
so
shape us in a way that often we think of them as the truth, and they are not always the truth. We are not saying that filters are bad. We're saying that filters often should be a place that makes us investigate further, that allows us to say, and think about that further, as opposed to us deciding that our filters are informing us of who we are and what is right and what is wrong. And so what happens is it creates bias. And it creates a place that you spoke many times about being open. Filters can often make you close because you are hearing words first, and then you are associating a meaning to those words And then you're acting upon how you heard that. So if we go back to the woman at the well, she says to him, you know, the fact that he was able to, as we might say on the street, peep her card, you know, didn't have to tell him that the man she was living with was not her husband, and she had five husbands. But she also said to him that, I know that a Messiah is coming who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Now, she heard about that, even though if you looked at her life, you wouldn't think she knew anything about him. And if we were listening to her, our filters might say, this woman, we have all kinds of names that are labels for who we would see her to be based on our filters, values, opinions. But if we come forward with those filters, she might not have ever had an opportunity to really know Christ or believe him when he said, I am the one to speak of.
That gives me chills, literally, like you even saying those words. And that's verse 26. I who speak to you am he.
Yes. And so, you know, if everything in our filters says, you know, this woman is kind of loose, she's living out of wedlock, we've got all kinds of thoughts and opinions, we wouldn't want to hear necessarily what she has to say, yet she was willing to go back to the village and say, come meet the Christ. You know, it's just very exciting to realize that we have to seek the truth, which is seeking God's faith, because there are many things that inform us that are absolutely not the truth, and our filters can be one of those.
So my question, and this is something that I've conversed with the Lord about, is, Lord, remove my filters so that I could love the way that you love, that I could embrace your will with total reckless abandonment. I mean, I know when I went through advanced cancer and the divorce, I came to the end of myself. And it was this experience of reckless abandonment. And Jesus being the ultimate life coach, it's that question of, you know, rolling away the tune. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Or do you have filters that prevent you from truly allowing yourself to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding? Because our filters are the things that jump in the way and prevent an effective exchange of communication where people are edified in a place of authenticity, vulnerability, and validation. Because I see you as I am, not as you are. And so I can't see you as Jesus sees you until, as Jen, you're a big fan of John the Baptist, until I get out of my own way, right? Mm-hmm. So what are some tips as coaches to offer that Jesus used to help people get out of their own way so the lesson could land, be transferable, and lead to the resurrected life? Because I'll tell you this, when I read through this, and those of you that are listening in today, I encourage you, invite the Holy Spirit into John chapter 4, because there is some powerful communication that's going on there. And look at the fuller model of reality, because this woman was considered an outcast, yet because she dropped into an embraced forgiveness and acceptance in the midst of her own transgressions, she was catapulted into a place of believability, so much so that she went back to the town. Many of the Samaritans of the town, it says in verse 39, believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Mm. He told me everything I did. This was a woman who was considered an outcast. And they actually went to Jesus because of her testimony and proclaimed, we no longer believe just because of what you said to the woman. We now have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Is that crazy? I mean, talk about ultimate coaching there, you guys. So what are your thoughts on what is going on that allowed her to resurrect that authentic self? Hey, my name is Lauren Miller, and this is the deal. I went through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. I was broken, I was wounded, and I came to the end of myself. With the darker the night got, the stronger I experienced the transforming presence of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that looked right into my soul and said, I see you, you matter, get up. Mm-hmm. So from your experience as a coach in the world, what do you see as essential in addition to removing the filters? That's, yes, so essential. Another one that we had kind of tossed about beforehand is addressing the subject of doubt, right? This was something I believe we kind of were tossing some things around us, checking for understanding. Jen, what are your thoughts on this?
You know what, as we're talking and debriefing this situation, this encounter that the woman at the well had with Jesus, I'm just thinking first and foremost, as to listeners, have you ever had this type of encounter before? Mm-hmm. And if not, what could lead you to this type of encounter with our Lord and Savior? And once you have that encounter, what happened with the woman is she became very clear and focused on her next steps. And Lauren, you've said it many times, clarity and focus leads to accuracy of response. Mm-hmm. And so I think as listeners, as myself, as I'm even sitting here thinking, I think we need to get clear of one of Jesus's ultimate questions is, who do you say I am? Mm-hmm. And that the way we respond to that question, the ultimate question, will give us clarity and focus to the rest of our lives. And so in Matthew 16:15, he asked his disciples, but who do you say that I am?
Love that.
It's mind-blowing because he knew. I mean, he's been doing life with these disciples for quite a while now.
Yeah, talk about an awesome life coaching situation, right?
Absolutely, because he knows how they're going to respond. He even knows that one of the 12 is going to, you know, betray him, and that the other one, one of our favorite ones too, Simon Peter, you know, responds that, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so that's the encounter. And going back to my son and his situation, he hasn't experienced Christ like I've experienced Christ. And my prayer was, dear God, I give him.
I have to jump in with yet. Sorry. I'm not sorry. Saying yet, because yet. There's three letters, man. That's where God does his work.
And I'm glad you said that, because we've seen and we've talked about on other episodes of God moving mountains with my other son, Jacob, who will be on next week's podcast. So that's just a little plug for Edge Got In.
Yep.
However, with my other son, I pray for him to have this encounter like the woman at the well had, and I need to remove all my filters, because he's got some things that I'm, you know, looking at him thinking, oh my goodness, this mountain's too big for God to even come in and intervene. And I know that's not true, because that hasn't been true in my life. So I love that phrase, yet. So my prayer is, you know, as I open up my hands, I surrender my son Colton to God, for him to have an encounter, for him to be able to answer that ultimate question, who do you say that I am? Mm-hmm. And so he might acknowledge Jesus right now as a historical figure, but he doesn't acknowledge him as Christ our Savior. And so I've asked God to do anything and everything and God's, you know, might to bring Colton to the end of himself. And as a parent, that's really tough to pray that prayer, because then I want to come back in, like I've said before, to protect and to save. But ultimately, we need to answer this question for ourselves, and then we'll be able to get that clarity once we identify who Jesus Christ is. Because then, Lauren, as you know, with working on this book, Identity, refreshing our identity in Christ, if we don't know Christ's true identity, then it impacts our identity and how we perceive ourselves too. And so that woman at the well had all of this baggage of how she could perceive herself, because she had her identity wrapped up in her works and the things that she had done in the past. But Jesus saw her in a different light. And I just pray that for our listeners today, that they'll have that one true encounter as the woman at the well did with Jesus. Mm.
And go ahead, Judy.
I would also pray that people realize that you you know, from this scripture, the woman at the well, that you realize that you cannot clean yourself up and you don't need to before recognizing who Christ is, you know, that he is the one that is going to do all the heavy lifting. You just have to come to him and believe it, and that he's going to receive you with love and compassion, because that's who he is. And you can't let your filters or anything else stop you from receiving that, because he's right there, right there. And all you have to do is ask and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and realize that you cannot do it alone. You don't even want to try to do it alone, because you will just frustrate yourself further. And
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
Amen, Judy.
Yep. That totally makes sense. I am looking at the scriptures in John chapter 4 and thinking about how the environment was created for safety. We have four basic needs: safety and connection, and a deep, deep longing for, you know, the sense of meaning and significance. Safety and connection and meaning and significance. How do you use that, knowing those are our basic needs, you know, as coaches, and how do you use it as a coach, and how have you seen Jesus reestablish, anchor that those longings for safety and connection, meaning and significance in your own walk with the Lord? Judy.
Wow, ask me a simple question.
I'm glad she called on you, Judy.
I mean, this is not a simple answer, but yet it is in so many ways, right? Because the encounter, as this woman at the well, it wasn't complicated. All of a sudden, he's like, yeah, I can see that, you know, go call your husband back. Well, I have no husband. Yeah, you're right in saying that. So how has that openness in your personal relationship with Jesus resurrected that sense of meaning and significance, safety and connection during some difficult times for you, Judy?
I just have to say that I have watched him do it over and over again in spite of me. And I have had the opportunity to reflect in such a way that a lot of times his hand was working and I just didn't know it. I was so in it, I couldn't see that he really was working it out and pulling me through it until I was on the other side of it. And there's a very old gospel song that says, you know, as I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. And you have to get on the other side of it sometimes and look back on it and realize that it is no possible way that you could do anything or figure out or take credit for any of those things that the Lord has brought you through. It was clearly him. And there have just been too many times that I have felt his arm say, you silly little girl, come back over here because you're about to get into something you can't handle. And, bring yourself back over here. You know, giving me lots of room for choices, lots of room to fall on my face, on my head, and then have to fall on my face. And that's the only way I know how to describe it, that he always takes me back, even when I leave. And I come back with my sorry self, so to speak. He always takes me back. And I just can't believe it sometimes.
Yeah, amen to that. And that's, and how is that, how does that play out as God has put you in a position as a coach? How do you offer that to your clients entrusted to your care?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's hard for me to talk to my clients without talking about the Lord. And I'm in situations where it's not altogether appropriate for me to do that. But I do find myself speaking the word of God, whether they know it is or not. Mm. And I'm aware of when they know it is, mm-hmm. you know, they mm-hmm. respond in a different way. But what I do think it does is it really allows me to depend on Him to give me the right question. Mm. And to realize that holding space is an important role for a coach. That you don't have the answers. The person you're working with has the answers. And they may not have it right now. But if you hold the space, they will discover it for themselves. And only through that can they go to work. Mm. Because, you know, there are many things that worked for me that may not work for somebody else. So it's not really my role to keep sharing what worked for me. It is for me to hold the space and ask the right questions so that they can discover what's next on their journey, what's needed on their journey, and realize that they can't do that without support.
Amen to that. Hold the space and ask the right question. And we see this played out. That's just a powerful statement right there. Hold the space and ask the question. And Jesus was masterful at that, just as He was with the woman at the well. Jen, as we started this call, you gave us a great example of that with your son. It sounds like you held the space and asked the question. How can I be most helpful?
And that hasn't always been the case, Lauren. I mean, again, this is Earth School. You had alluded to why it matters. My why it matters is to prove my worth. And so what that looks like and how that plays out is giving a lot of answers or giving solutions in order to prove myself to other people. However, if I flip that lens and think about how could I prove my worth differently, that the spotlight is placed on that person instead of me, how much more of my worth would be proved?
And that's so powerful. Absolutely.
I had to do that with my son. And so I was asking him questions. What do you think? I mean, I've been inundated, and I'm so grateful to God and thankful that God's given me a son who still reaches out to me, though he's 21 years old, to ask me for advice and questions. But I've had to bite my tongue or keep my hand from going, you know, on that phone text messaging. So for you parents out there, you know, think about what we're talking about here and what would be your best role? How could you show up like Jesus shows up? And what does that person that's sitting in front of you need from you? And it's what Judy said, you have to hold that space and ask the right question. And so as he's navigating college, as he's navigating a breakup, he's also navigating, what is he going to do with the rest of his life? And he's got a couple of career choices. And Judy said it, you know, if I offer my opinion and that career choice doesn't go well, then I'm held accountable for probably offering that opinion. And so I've learned throughout the years that asking questions and getting the person to come up with their own solution far outweighs anything that I could say about myself. And so daily, as in, I think it's John 3:30, let you increase so I can decrease, Lord. That's been my prayer. And it's worked out for me. So
how powerful. I've got to just give a standing ovation for
that. But that's taken years, though. I mean, that's just coaching myself as well. And that's the goal of all of this, I think, is, you know, looking at the model coach Jesus. And then Jesus sent us a helper, too. I know we were running out of time, but I would really encourage listeners to go to John 16. You know, Lauren, you had mentioned John 15 of abiding in Christ, and Jesus was preparing his disciples that, you know, which soon I'm not going to be here, but a helper is going to come, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that's now my, you know, internal coaching barometer, if you will.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's great. We were talking before we jumped on this call about how the Holy Spirit will bump us after a lesson is learned. And Judy, I believe you were explaining a situation recently where it's like, wasn't all that bad, right?
Right.
So sometimes I'll hear Jesus say, are you done yet? So
that's a great question.
Because he's such a great coach, counselor. Yeah. Obviously, I mean, we're bringing it down to the human level, because Jesus walked in the human level. He suffered in every way, so he is compassion and meets us right where we're at in this human experience. Coaching seems like such an earthly statement to say, because he is the savior of the world.
Yeah,
and so he uses what we use on an earthly plane as something to guide us back to ourselves as connected to God, which Jesus was constantly inviting people back with, holding space and posing a perfectly constructed question to guide others back to God and their fullest potential in Christ, removing all filters, judgments, assumptions, assuming that the person should be a certain way, or making conclusions or mind reading or all those earthly things we all have played around in, and stays off the stage of drama and simply, kindly, lovingly poses a question to unlock and resurrect self-reflection, as well as Judy and Jen, we all agree on the importance of allowing for choice.
Yes.
Allowing for choice. And Jen, as you mentioned, you know, with your son, it's the, you know, prodigal son, the lessons that are learned when you come back. I've got several prodigal son stories in my life, and I came back totally embracing the truth of those who have been forgiven much, love much. Mm. Why would we withhold an opportunity for learning and growth from those around us that an ultimate good would result as a result of the trial? Consider yourself fortunate, James 1:2-4, when all kinds of trials come your way. For if by faith you succeed in these trials, you're given the gift of endurance. You're given the gift of temperance, of peace, of trust. We have these files now, we can bring them up. So allow Jesus, and the question that we pose during this podcast is, who do you say that I am? Mm-hmm. Who do you say that I am? If Jesus were to appear to you physically and simply ask you that question in the quiet of your soul, who do you say that I am? Observe what comes up. Observe any longings, curiosities, and pursue them. Keep knocking, keep asking. Open wide the door of your heart and allow the great physician to come in and heal and restore and resurrect and reestablish that sense of meaning and significance, that sense of safety and connection. And so we're at the end of the podcast, ladies, and I'm so grateful for your presence here, as well as the insight that the Holy Spirit moved through you. This is definitely a conversation, because I know that there's a lot more scriptures along with this, as Jesus as the ultimate coach. What's your takeaway from today? Re-listen to the podcast. We'll post some scriptures that go along with us at edgegodin.com. Go to the Lord with the scriptures posted. Reflect on John chapter 4, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me? Help me to be a better coach. Help me to listen to understand rather than to be understood. Grant me the grace to remove judgments or taking offense. That's a huge one. We can do a whole podcast just on taking offense. Unzip, step out of the cloak of heaviness in the worldly ways and playing the finite game of life. And open wide your heart. Invite Jesus into that space to be the ultimate coach. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to serve and glorify you today. We invite you into our heart. We invite you into our interior castle, into every single room that we've kept locked up for fear of judgment from other people. Every room that we've kept locked up because we don't accept ourselves. How could anyone else accept ourselves in that space? You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It is for freedom that you have set us free. Help us, God, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, to pose the questions to the people you've entrusted to our care, not so we can be seen, acknowledged, and recognized, not so that we become bigger, but so that we become smaller, so that your greatness and power can shine through us and free people from the chains from their past, just like the woman at the well. She was never the same. Use our hands, our heart, our words, our intonation, our facial expression, to make you recognizable, to be the earthly coaches, to guide other people back to themselves as connected to you, Lord. Your most holy will be done in our lives and the lives of the listeners that you've gathered to this call. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Judy, any last thoughts that you'd like to close with? Or Jen, start with Judy.
Jesus asked the why question a lot. And even though as coaches in the kind of coaching we do, we rephrase that because we don't want people to think of the filter of defensiveness. But he did ask things like, why are you thinking such things with your heart? And I would encourage us all to be confident enough, yet humble enough, to ask ourselves the why questions of why do we do what we do?
Mm. Thank you. That's powerful. What about you, Jen? Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, you were just talking about the finite game, you know, and I would just say as your listeners thinking about short-term game, long-term game, Jesus does ask some hard questions, and sometimes we're not ready to prepare or prepared to answer those questions. And just in John 6:66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So that means they were playing the short-term game. So my question for you is, are you going to continue to play that game, or are you in it for good for the long term?
Mm. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Jen. So grateful for your presence. If people want to find more information about the work that God's calling you to do in the world, where would you like them to go? Sometimes people are on a call and they're like, oh, I'd like to find out more about the work that person's doing.
So I would say, I mean, for both Judy and I, we're on the Sherpa Executive Coaching website. So that's SherpaCoaching.com if you want to learn more about, and you too, Lauren, what the three of us do in the corporate world, that's a good space to check out.
So SherpaCoaching.com, SHERPA, SherpaCoaching.com.
There might be an executive in there. Is it Judy? I'm sure it's probably SherpaExecutiveCoaching.com.
No. It's coaching. And yeah. it will look very corporate, but we are very much who we were today.
So mm-hmm. Absolutely.
About it all.
Amen, amen. It's all about climbing that summit with the Lord.
Amen.
Just saying.
And all it's right. easier if we do it with them, right, than without.
Exactly. And we're two or more gathered. He sent them out in a group. So yeah. We all need each other. Thank you for those people that have taken the time to listen to us today. Again, you can find out more information on the podcast on edgegodin.com. That's edgegodin.com. Enjoy your gift of life today and draw near to the one who died to win your heart. God's favor to you today. Look forward to connecting next time.